Yes, a reading from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanksgiving. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. An appeal for loyalty to Paul and the gospel. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Amen.
Yeah, amen to that, sister. And so we are looking at this series of that we are disciples and we are to make disciples. And last week we discovered that our formation as disciples and making disciples is God's beautiful, his wonderful commands. Do you remember there was a yippee that I got from one of you? I think it was just Fiona. That yippee. Do you know what I mean? There's his wonderful, beautiful commands that lead us on the path of renewal with God, teaching us to have a lifestyle of love for God, ourselves, and others. That's the point of the commands, of what we're teaching and helping others to really to understand. Helping our inward motivation and our outward practices to be true to God's kingdom ways of living. And they're all provided. Remember, we said that this, we have a God who gives clarity and communication. He wants you to know where you stand with him and how to get back into right relationship with him, which is wonderful. When people don't do that, it's really difficult. But God is a God who does. But this week, we're looking at, okay, so what actually is a disciple? We know it's all underpinned by renewal and love, but what is actually being a disciple? And so the definition that comes from Carlo McLachlan is a disciple of Jesus is someone who chooses. It's an intentional thing. It's a discipline. Chooses to believe in, learn from, trust in, follow Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? This is what a disciple is. Choice requires intentionality. Daily taking up our cross, daily choosing to listen and then obey. I think that was what an answer there. Then obey what God is saying to us. And it's a process. Do you mean it's not like you know, like Jo has just come into the kingdom of God and she recognizes, she's like, I've got so much to learn. And it's okay, Jo, you've got a whole lifespan to learn it in. Do you know what I mean? But those of you who are octogenarians and nonagenarians, the rest of you, you're okay. But if you're in that age bracket, then you have a huge amount of experience and knowledge and following that you can share with others. I mean, think of the years that you have had, yeah? Of a lifestyle of following Jesus. So discipleship is a lifestyle and a lifelong process. And remember I said last week, I love the nonagenarians and octogenarians who are still discipling and being discipled. Yeah, they still want to learn. They still want to follow. They're still choosing every day just to say, Lord, help me. I need your help. So we journey with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. But remember, it's together. It's not on our own. Jesus always sent people out together. And I think sometimes it can feel like a real lonely journey, can't it? You know, I'm sitting here in my little home and I've got no one to help me, nothing. Yeah, but you have. Look around you. There's people here who will help you and support you and pray with you and go with you so that others can know about Jesus. And not only have our own lives transformed, but the lives of others transformed. Because that's the purpose, isn't it? Yeah? The purpose is to know the truth. The truth sets us free. The truth is a person. The truth is Holy Spirit. And so with that, we change, and then we have a testimony to say how we've changed to others. I don't know about you, but I mean, you must have. I mean, think how many years of experience we have amongst us. Yeah? How many years of discipleship we have, and how many stories you have, testimonies of, this is what I was like before, and this is what I was like after. Yeah? The before and after stories. Can you think of, you know, them, and then think of, who can I share that with this week? What we have is we have Christ in us. What we have is God's word that brings us truth and transforms us. And what we have is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have absolutely everything you need to not only be a disciple, but to make disciples. Does that make sense? We have everything that we need. But I don't know what messages you're playing in your head at this precise moment. Are you thinking, woohoo, I have everything I need? Or is another message playing in there? And I think it is a choice. We have a choice to believe. It's not like I want to see it and then I'll believe it. We have to stand on God's word. Our faith is saying, I believe Christ is in me. I believe I have the Holy Spirit. I believe I know God's word. I read it. I've learned it. Judy's speaking at me every single week about it. Do you know what I mean? You know, I know God's word. I have everything I need to not only be a disciple, but to make disciples. But I find this really encouraging. Paul is talking to Timothy. And I don't know, you know, you got doubting Thomas. Why don't we ever say timid Timothy? Do you know what I mean? Because this is the verse that we were looking at today. This is the verse that has just been read. Because what Paul, who is discipling Timothy, a young man who's trying to lead the church, he says, you have not been given a spirit of timidity. Why was he saying that to him? Because Tim was timid. Can you identify with that? Can you identify with Timothy's shyness? Can you identify with Timothy's lack of courage? And this is where we need to change the tapes that we're playing in our head. Because Paul is basically saying that for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us, what does it give us? Read it on the board with me. Power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. I grew up with the old version, which I like the concept of, he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Sometimes I think I need that. So in my head, I'm thinking sound mind. You know, I need a sound mind here. We have absolutely everything we need. And, if Timothy can do it by the encouragement of Paul, we can do it too. We can go and make disciples, because that's what we were designed to be. We were designed to be disciples and to make disciples. This is an important phrase, I'm going to say. So I'm hoping you're listening at this moment in time. God wants us to become comfortable and confident with each step of the process of making disciples. And I don't know about you, but Timothy certainly wasn't feeling comfortable or confident at that moment in time. But God's desire is that as we be a disciple, he says, I want you to become comfortable using my word and fully confident in the power that I've given you, fully confident about Holy Spirit's ability to give you the words to say and to achieve the purpose that you have been given each day. Yeah? Can we be comfortable and confident? For in him we live. There's so many songs come to mind as we've been reading today. For in him we live and move and have our being. He is every single part of us. He will enable us to not only be his offspring, as Acts 17:28 says, but to be every part and help us along our way. See, Acts 17:28 teaches us that it's in Christ that believers live and move and have their being. And as we learn to operate in our true identity and position in Christ, we will become increasingly comfortable and confident operating under God's authority and in his strength to make disciples. Remember what he was saying to Timothy? Don't look at your timidity. Look at who I am and who I am in you. And it is a genuine request from me to say, what's going through your head at this moment in time? You know, is it something that I'm unable? Oh, I'm too shy. It's not my personality type. That isn't true. And so what we can do is when we have these tapes playing in our head, and boy, sometimes I have them myself, can we do what David does in the Psalms? Can we do what Paul has said to Timothy and say, but God, and finish that sentence off? So when we get a message in our head that says this, can we then say, but God? I may think this, but God. God is in me. God has given me the power. Jesus has given me the authority. I can go and make disciples. But you can only go as far as, you can only take someone as far as you've gone. Makes sense, doesn't it? So as you have learned something, you can carry that person or teach or train that person. But my question to us this morning is, how far are you willing to go as a disciple? How much, when God says all, I surrender all, I mean, how much of all is all? You know, how much of your whole life have you surrendered to him? Your intellect, your resources, your family, your home, your car, your daily living, your family, your friends, your dog. How much have we surrendered all? In other words, how far are we willing to go? Because we can only take people as far as we've been willing to surrender all and be a disciple. That's how far we can go. So we are designed to be a disciple. We are designed to make discipleship. We have everything we need. But I think one of the things that I struggled with initially when I was making disciples is I don't know how to recognize opportunities. Boy, did I put my foot in it and say some stupid things on occasions. Do you know what I mean? Boy, was I too keen and said stuff that made people run a mile as opposed to listening to the Holy Spirit. But I have learned three things about recognizing the opportunities that God has given me. And the first one is, do I actually expect it every day? Am I living in expectation? Am I praying and then waiting expectantly for the Lord to tell me how, what, when, where, and what word? Yeah? Am I expectant? You know, Paul was expecting that Timothy would listen. Do you know why Timothy listened? Don't you love that first bit that you read? Why was it that Timothy was ready to be a disciple? Because his grandmother and his mother had already prepared his heart and discipled him. Do you know what I mean? I'm an auntie nanny. In other words, I may not be a grandmother, but I'm a great aunt who my great niece insists on calling me auntie nanny. I have been given the authority of a grandmother over my great niece and actually now her younger sister Evie. And therefore, I have a responsibility to those children. I have a responsibility, it feels like, to the children that are in the UK, because my sisters are abroad. And so I have taken on the responsibility of the two, one of my younger sisters, My younger sister's eldest, and my eldest sister's middle child. I feel I'm responsible for them. The Lord has given me them, even though I don't have children myself, yeah, to disciple. This is my responsibility, to prepare people and help them. They won't just be discipled by me, but they'll be discipled by others. And I don't know about you, my parents were first-generation Christians. In other words, none of their relatives were Christians beforehand. How many of you are first-generation Christians? First time. Yeah. How many generations does your family have, Karen? 3. Think of that history that is passed down. But I'm so impressed with my mum and dad. Because right from a child, they prayed not only with me every night, but they prayed for me every day. My mother still does that at the age of 89. I had a home where discipleship was taken seriously. Not only did they pray for me, but they would read scripture with me, because initially I couldn't read. And then when I finally could read, they gave me a Bible, so I could read it. And they gave me Bibles relevant to my age. They gave me notes relevant to my age. They gave me books that they had asked the Lord what books to give her, and so that we can see her grow and be discipled. They took me to Christian conferences. They took me smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe, and so I could see the miracles time and time again of mission. They encouraged me to walk with the Lord. They taught me to tithe. Do you know what I mean? I didn't like it initially when I had my pocket money and I had to give some of it. Do you know what I mean? And at that point, they used to hand it around, didn't you? It was so tempting to take money out as opposed to put money in. But they taught me the importance of tithing and how to handle money and resources that God gives generously to me, and I am to give generously to others. They taught me to prophesy. They taught me to speak in tongues. They taught me to the gift of prophecy and hospitality. They trained me to share the gospel and be mission-minded with my time, my money, and resources. Wow. Do you know what I mean? I am just, so I come from this just first generation, but a rich heritage. This is how we disciple. Yeah, this is how we make disciples. This is how they did me and continue to do me. I know my dad is still, as a witness in heaven, just cheering me on. Come on, Judith, more, more. You can grow more. You see, I believe that God will give us opportunities each day to share about who he is and or what he's done in our lives. Are you expectant that God will do this for you every day, not only in your families, but also to those around you? But it requires preparation. As you know, I've got a new car, second-hand new car, love it. But it drives so differently. I have to really prepare to think. Do you know what I mean? You push a button, for goodness sake, but you've got a key, but you don't put the key in. You know what I mean? Things like that. I anticipate as I'm driving. I have to think ahead. Do you know what I mean? And I hope you do when you drive too. Do you know what I mean? Those of you, you drove one day. Do you know what I mean? But when you're driving, do you not think ahead? You sort of think, well, I better check what's going on around me. I better think, I've got a signal because I'm turning left, turning right. Can you see the amount of preparation required in driving? That's the kind of preparation that God expects us to do each day so that we recognize opportunities. In other words, we just come to the Lord. What's our preparation? We pray. Lord, who, what, when, where? Yeah? And what word? We study God's word and think, oh, and don't do what I do sometimes. I think, oh, that's a really good word for that person. They really need to hear that. As opposed to just, Lord, I want to pray this word over them. Quite often the words that we're given are for us to pray, not to tell. Yeah? And discerning that. And we have the Holy Spirit's guidance. And God promises to guide us in our path. So, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Every aspect of your life. And he will make your path straight. He's gone ahead of you. He's made a path straight for you. Whether you turn to the right or the left, it says in Isaiah 30:21, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I mean, are you like attentive to that? I mean, I've told you before, do you know what I mean? When I go and get petrol, where am I meant to get it from? But Lord, it's more expensive there. Yeah, but you're meant to go there. Where are you meant to get your shopping from? Where are you meant to walk today? Who are you meant to see? Lord, just guide my path. And do you know what I mean? It's like a beautiful dance, I feel like. I feel like when I'm in the flow of him, it's like I'm in this dance and sort of in this river of his presence and his power and his love. And the second I get out of it, I hate it. I can't bear it. because I lose my peace, I lose my trust, I lose, you know, I start playing silly tapes in my head, yeah, of messages from him. That's how we're designed to function. That's what a disciple is. Just knowing, hey, let's do this beautiful dance with God. We can do this. And three times in the Gospels, both in Luke, Mark, and Matthew, Jesus says, look, I'll give you the right words at the right time. So can we be expectant? Expect people to come across your path. Maybe it's the lady who brings you your meals on wheels or whatever they're called now. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's her that he's got a little word for her or something to give. You know, expect that, you know, people will come across your path. Can we prepare ourselves each day for that? And can we obey, which is what the discipleship at the back group said, obey God's purposeful orchestration. See, God's purposeful orchestration will take place every day. But the outcome, and this is what I struggled with initially. So the outcome, I'm expecting this person to get saved because I've just told them something. Or I'm expecting that person to say, yeah, that's a great message. But quite often, that's not what I get. But success is obedience, not the outcome. Do you see the difference? Success is obedience. Now, we have to trust God that he is purposeful. So the purpose has been achieved, even if I've just rubbed somebody up the wrong way. Yeah? Success is being obedient and doing what he asks us to do. And just trusting God with the outcome. So obeying God's orchestration requires us to prayerfully consider whether we are to say yes or no to appointments. Do we do that? I've waited ages for a dentist appointment. The Lord said, don't do that dentist appointment. I've got something else for you. So I had to cancel it. And I was like, oh, no, you know. And it's all over in Peacehaven. But he had a conference for me to go to on Friday instead of having a dentist appointment. But I had to trust him in that. I didn't know why I had to cancel it, but that was why. I don't know about you, but can we just make this a lifestyle? I mean, I love that there was a guy, Henry Nguyen, who used to hear God's word as he did the pots and pans. You know, you can still do it if you've got a dishwasher. As you load it or unload it, you can just be praying for somebody, thinking about somebody. God speaks to me in the garden. I'm sure he does to Dave as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, what weeds need to be taken out of my garden? Lord, what do you want to tell me about that? What flowers am I to get? Why am I to get them? There's just this whole conversation with God the whole time. About us being a disciple, but also about making disciples. Can we obey God's purposeful orchestration? And can we practice it? We will practice it. I've made some real clangers. But the point is, it doesn't matter. I've tried to be obedient, and God sees that as successful. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. So let's conclude. A disciple of Jesus is someone who chooses to believe in, learn from, trust in, and follow Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I promise you, because God's word is true, you have the potential to successfully disciple others because you have God's word. You have Christ in you. You have his Holy Spirit. And as disciples, we're able to recognize the opportunities God gives us each day to share about God and his kingdom in word and deed. So can we, PBBC, can we this week expect opportunities? Can we prepare each day for them and then obey what God is purposefully orchestrating? Can that be who we are? That's what we read out as our mission statement. Can that be who we are this week? And if you've got tapes still playing in your head that say I can't or I'm unable or whatever, then how about just saying about God? How about asking someone to pray with you and for you? How about getting someone alongside you? Because we're not meant to do this alone. It won't go out of my head. There was an example I was going to give in the sermon, but I'm going to give it now. I was born to evangelize. I was born an evangelist. You know, you don't realize this until later on, do you? But what I discovered at this conference I went to Friday from the prophets, it was about prophecy and we had a prophet speaking, was that prophets and many others fear evangelists. They're like frightened of people who naturally go out and speak and share and have trained themselves up to do that, because they find them embarrassing. The last person they want to go out with, as you know, on the streets or something, is with an evangelist. So they don't know what they're going to do or say. Do you know what I mean? There's a lack of prediction there. And so it's really funny, because when you're not, do you know what I mean? When you're not one of these other, you know, fivefold ministry, you have no idea what it feels like to look at someone and sort of think, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Oh, that's embarrassing. Yeah. And it was really interesting, because I was like, oh, well, Lord, help. Do you know what I mean? What do we do? And the woman just said, well, we have to get rid of that fear. The fear of going out, the fear, and actually find the root cause. And so I was with Carrie Ann. I went there actually because she is a prophet. Do you know what I mean? I went there to help her and encourage her and be with her as she was being trained. And she said she grew up in the Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said her fear of evangelism came because she hated going and knocking doors with her parents. Yeah. And so if you genuinely have a fear of evangelism, I can understand that. But is it based on some experience that you've had in the past that says, I don't want to be that, I don't want to be like that? Yeah? And if it is, can we get rid of that fear and just replace it? Remember, his love casts out fear. And he's not going to ask you, like he did some of the prophets, to lie naked in the street. Don't panic. All right? He loves you. Do you know what I mean? I don't think that'll help. Do you know what I mean? You know, because that's something, you know, like he does ask prophets and he does ask evangelists to do some crazy things sometimes. But he knows you and he knows the people you know and will give you words that are only love, because God is love and the Holy Spirit's fruit is love. So can you trust him and can you get rid of your fear so that you can genuinely just share out of love and in love who he is this week?